Good morning again. It's good to see everyone. I look forward to the time to be able to be with you this week, and Lord willing, we'll benefit from the things that we study together from God's Word. As I mentioned in class, I decided this morning for class and for this morning's lesson to look at some passages that sometimes we think maybe we know what they are and what they say, but then it's a good time then to look at them very closely. And to see, do I really know what this is saying? Sometimes people will ask me, you know, what do you do in your study? How do you go about studying? And I like taking a passage, of course, and looking at its context, and looking at the context of the whole scriptures, but then taking and just breaking it down. And that's kind of what we're doing this morning, is just taking this passage and looking at it. And the passage we want to look at this morning is one that could be quoted probably very easily by most all of us. And it's from Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 28. Where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light." That's one of those passages where, you know, you've heard that probably all your life, and you can quote that probably. But I thought, do I really know everything that Jesus is saying in that? And really, when you think about the context of this, Jesus is there in the region of the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is in a territory where people have seen and heard him. In fact, most of his miracles were done around this region, and yet they had rejected Jesus' message and were failing to repent. You got there on the northern part of the Sea of Galilee, if you imagine the map there, you've got Bethsaida, and that's where Peter and Andrew were from, and that's a good place to be from, I guess, if you're a fisherman. Means house of fish. That's where they were from. And then you got down a little bit to the west, you got Chorazin, and then farther down around on the western side, you've got Capernaum. And that's where Jesus kind of used his home base there, and most of his teaching was done in and around these cities. And verse 20 of this passage, it tells us that he began to reproach these cities, which most of his miracles had been done, because they didn't repent. And you remember he warns them and upbraids them, saying that even like Tyre and Sidon would have repented if they would have been able to see and hear the things that they had seen. Sodom and Gomorrah even. I don't understand everything that's involved in Jesus' judgment in the final day, but I do know that there will be considerations concerning the opportunities that we have and the privileges that we have to know God's will and to repent as a result. When I think of the wickedness of Sodom, I don't know about you, I don't want to be numbered with Sodom or Capernaum in the day of judgment. A place where God sent fire and brimstone down upon. He said it would be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Sodom than for Capernaum. Some people want to try to take comfort in the fact there's going to be maybe different degrees of punishment, that kind of thing. When it comes down to this, it's talking about it doesn't matter because we're in the position where we have the responsibility. We know. Capernaum had been a terrible place to pass from in the judgment unprepared and unrepentant. But I tell you, Bowling Green would be too, wouldn't it? Anywhere in this region of the world, I don't care if you're in Tullahoma, Tennessee, or wherever, we have the opportunity in this country to know God's will. Everybody can know it. Access to the scriptures. It's unbelievable how easy it is. You can get a copy of the scriptures at the Dollar Tree, can't you? In fact, you go to a yard sale, most people won't sell the Bible, they'll give it to you. In fact, you're here this morning, you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. There's easy access to the will of God. We've got great responsibility, just like they did. He upbraided them, and how would he upbraid us? For not repenting at his word. But he's talking to these people, and then in verse 25, he begins to give praise and thanks to God the Father for the truth concerning himself. While that it was hidden from the wise and intelligent, it was revealed unto babes. Now, Jesus doesn't mean that the intellectual, and in fact, the matter of intellectual attainment stands in the way of faith in him, but he makes very plain that it's not necessary. To believe in Jesus and to come to him, an individual of common intelligence, regardless of his education or lack of it, can come to Jesus and know the salvation that he provides. And then he says, verse 27, he speaks of his authority. All things have been handed over to him, and that no one really knows him except the Father, and no one really knows the Father except him and those to whom he would reveal the Father. And Jesus knew the Father. He was in the bosom of the Father. Nobody really knew Jesus. He had his disciples, and even his close disciples really didn't have a clue at the beginning, especially of who he was and what he came to do. And nobody knew the Father. But he was willing to reveal the Father to him. And only he could do that. He was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's who he was. Verse 14 of John 1 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory is only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And on down in that chapter, he says that the law was revealed through Moses, but grace and truth were explained by him. He explained God. That's why he's called the Word. If I want to explain something, I do it with Word. God explained it with Jesus. He's the Word of God. He wanted to explain, get across his mind to us. He done it through Jesus. And so if we're going to know the Father, you've got to come to Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except by me. And he's willing to reveal the Father to us. And with that, he said to the people, he said, come unto me. Come unto me. Now, nobody else could say that but Jesus. Only the Son of God has the authority to say, come to me. That's the only way. Come unto me. You know, men can make promises, let you down. You ever had anybody let you down? Men make promises and let you down. Sometimes people make promises and they don't have the power to back it up. But this somebody's got the power to back it up. He said, you come unto me. And nobody but the Son of God, the one who all things have been given to him, could make this statement and back it up. But he was the Son of God. He came as the Son of God. He died, was raised, and was proven to be the Son of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, it was the resurrection from the dead that proved Jesus to be the Son of God with what? Power. That's who he is. He's the Son of God with power. And the resurrection from the dead proves him to be that. And he says, come unto me. Now Jesus could say it. Notice he says, come. He says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. Weary and heavy laden. Weary. You ever been weary? Jesus had been weary. He was God, but he's also man. And in John 4, chapter verse 6, this is the same word, by the way, in the text. It says, when he came to Jacob's well, he was wearied from his journey. They walked. He would give out. He sat in there, and one of the disciples went in to get something to eat into town, and he sat there. And, of course, we know the story of the woman at the well in Samaria. But he was wearied. He's using it in a figurative way here, speaking of spiritual weariness. Everybody's been weary. I was tired yesterday. I took my boy to turkey hunt. It was youth day, turkey hunt. You know, I was excited. I get excited as a kid. I looked at the clock every hour. Didn't get any sleep. Didn't get up at 4:30 and then walk a place where a billy goat wouldn't go. I was weary when I got home. Tired. Everybody's been weary physically, but you ever been weary spiritually? I've been there too. You ever had sin in your life that you're unwilling to repent of, unwilling to change, and it can make you weary? Everybody finds themselves in the need of regeneration, of spiritual restoration, and only Jesus can provide that. Notice he says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. What's a heavy laden? A burden, a heavy burden. It's just like a pack on an animal's back, just pressing down, hard. Can you imagine an animal just about, when I was down working in Jamaica once, and I looked at the women, and there was a little boy, they would sell sugar cane down there as a snack. They would take, chop it up, put it on ice, and you can, you know, cool off of that, chew on it. And they would sell it. So in the morning, even these kids, they were going out, and they were going to the sugar cane fields, and they were loading them down, and he had this little donkey, and he had this thing loaded down. And I thought if he had one more sugar cane on that, that little donkey would have buckled. But he was whipping him on, you know, making him go. But he was all he could do to go. Heavy laden. You ever had something pressed down on you, feel like one more thing, that was it? Come unto me, ye who are weary. He's talking about spiritual. Now, he's talking about sin in your life. People are living in spiritual weariness, pressed down by a heavy laden. Sometimes people of God will do that. They'll turn to sin and they're unwilling to repent. And they go around weary and heavy laden. David was that way. David knew what it meant to be weary. Heavy laden by sin. Psalm 32. He knew what it was to get that burden off too, didn't he? He said, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there's no deceit. But I tell you, as long as the deceit's there, we talked about this morning, you deceive yourself, thinking you can live one way and come out all right. You know better. Down deep, we know better. You're going to reap what you sow, and it brings about spiritual weariness and heavy laden. And David knew that too. He continued in that psalm. He said, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. As long as he left sin to remain there, as long as he did not come to the Lord, he was weary, he was spiritually burdened down. Now if you're that way this morning, Jesus is saying to you, come to me, ye who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And he's talking about rest for the soul. Come to me, ye who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can give you rest. Notice he says, I will give you rest. It's not something you're going to take from Jesus on your own terms. You have to come to him and receive rest on his terms. I will give you rest. And rest, spiritual rest, only comes from him and from his Father, to whom he's willing to reveal. And he says, you come to me, and I will give you rest. Notice who he calls. He says, all. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Sometimes people get to thinking, you know, the call of the Lord is not for me. I'm too far gone. I could never come and receive rest because of my sin. He says, all who are weary and heavy laden, if you're willing to come to the Lord, if you're willing to change your life, he's willing to give you rest on his terms. But he will give it to you. All. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, he says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, that's deep, dark red. Sometimes our past may be so full of things that it's like that. But he says, though they be red like crimson, they be like wool. Clean. Spiritual weariness, spiritually exhausted, burdened down with guilt, spiritually famished. Jesus says, come unto me and you'll be restored. Come to me and you'll receive rest. All who are weary and heavy laden. How do you receive that rest? He says, take my yoke. Now that's an odd way to give somebody rest, isn't it? When you think about it. What does a yoke suggest to you? A yoke suggests work to me. Now, you know what a yoke is. I suppose most people know what a yoke is. Rest comes by taking upon ourselves His yoke, and the yoke suggests work, because it's a work object. It's a piece of work equipment. It's a piece of farm equipment. Now, we don't use yokes very much today in farming, but they did then, and everybody knew what he was talking about, because about everybody that he was talking about had one of those, or they'd used one of those, or at least they'd seen one work. And Jesus made them, I'd say, in the carpenter shop there with his earthly father, Joseph. And he says, you come take my yoke. This is an illustration maybe we're a little bit removed from, but they understood what it was. And you can see them over, I don't know if the Cracker Barrel here in Bowling Green has one over their door. Most of Cracker Barrels have a yoke over the door. I remember when we go in, Caleb, when he's little, he said, look, Daddy, Matthew 11, you know, that yoke. And I don't know, I learned a little bit about yokes when I was down and living in Tennessee before. We've always fooled with some kind of animals. And the boys said that they'd seen something on RFD or something, or a video, I think, that was put out by RFD before RFD was on TV. It was a video. And this Conroy guy was working these oxen, and they wanted them some oxen. Well, I didn't know enough about oxen. I thought, you know, I'd food with cows growing up, but I didn't know anything about it. I thought oxen might be a particular breed or something. But oxen's any four-year-old working steer, whether it's a milking shorthorn, a Holstein, or a Devon, like they took out Oregon, you know, them big sleek red ones. They're pretty. They're expensive. So we got Holsteins. And I made them a yoke. We sent off, do you know they have tractor ox pulls like they have tractor pulls up in the Northeast. They pull oxen. You know, we still have mule pulls. I think mule days this next weekend over in Columbia. They have mule pulls. Well, they have ox pulls. Pull them stone boats. And we sent off for a working steer project book for $1 and got it in plans for a yoke and everything, made it out. But that's work. Boom with those oxen. He said, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. Rest comes by taking upon the Lord's yoke upon ourselves. And it's a personal thing. He says, take my yoke upon you. You personally have to take the Lord's yoke if you want to receive rest. If you want rest from spiritual weariness, if you want the sin removed, if you want to come to Him so that you can know the Father, you've got to take His yoke, which is just work. We'll talk more about that. But it's upon you. Nobody can take the yoke for you. You may have a good wife. She's got to take her yoke. You've got to take your yoke. It's the Lord's yoke. It's an individual thing. Take my yoke upon you. It begins with repentance and baptism. Nobody can repent for you but you. You know, he's upbraiding these people because they wouldn't repent. Well, nobody could repent for them but them. He says it's going to be more tolerable on the day of judgment for some in the past than it is for you, because you had opportunity to know and repent, and you didn't repent. Woe unto you. Then he says, come unto me. He's talking to them, talking to us. Come to me, I'll give you rest, ye who are spiritually weary and heavy laden. But you've got to take my yoke upon yourself personally. And to do that involves being a disciple. He says, you learn of me. Now, being a disciple involves two things, right? You look up the word disciple, what does it mean? It's being a learner and a follower. Now, he's talking about the first part. Being a learner. Learner and a follower, that's a disciple. Nobody can be a disciple unless they come to Jesus. Jesus said, you can't be my disciple unless you deny self, take up your cross, and follow me. And that goes hand in hand with the idea of taking up a yoke. We'll talk more about that. Taking up a yoke, taking on his yoke personally, and following him, learning of him. He says, here's the reason. Here's the reason you need to learn of him. Four, here's the reason. Because I'm gentle and humble in heart. You see, rest comes not by being aggressive, and I'm going to receive rest my way. Salvation didn't come in. It didn't come on my way, my turn. It comes on giving myself to the Lord and coming to him. You know, Luke 16, Jesus talked about some who were trying to push their way into the kingdom, force their way into the kingdom. And there, in that context, he's talking about marriage and divorce. Some thought they could live like they want to live, and marry and divorce like they wanted to, and they could get be in the kingdom. He said, you're not going to force your way into the kingdom. It doesn't come on our terms. It comes on his terms, living like he says live. That's what we must do. If I want to be in the kingdom, if I want to come to him and have rest, I've got to take my yoke and I have to learn of him. And it's not by being aggressive and doing things like I think. He's the one who's been given all authority. All things have been handed over to him, remember? And I've got to come to him and bow unto him. And I've got to learn of him. And his way is gentleness and humility. Meekness and being humble. Now, what does it mean to be meek and lowly? Meek and gentle. Humble. A lot of times when people think of gentleness or meekness, they think of weakness. As soon as a person hears meek, they think weak. The only thing meek has in common with weak is the word rhyme. That's it. Meekness is not weakness. In fact, it's right opposite of that. It's strength. It has to do with strength. Meekness has to do with strength. Strength that's under control. Now, there's some people that are strong, but they don't have any control. In fact, that's the way most people are in this world. They just want to run roughshod over everybody. And that's the way some people think they can do spiritually. They can just go and do and live like they want to. And they're going to think they're going to run roughshod over the Lord. And they're going to receive salvation regardless. And we talked about that this morning. You know, don't think you mock God. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You can't mock God. And you're not going to get in his kingdom by forcing your way in and doing it your way. You're going to have to come on his terms and learn of him. And he says, I'm gentle and humble in heart. And we have to be gentle. Meekness. Gentleness, we said, is strength under control. I told you I always had animals. I know a little bit about oxen, but I know a whole lot more about mules and horses. I've always fooled with draft mules and horses, Persian horses. I suppose the strongest horse I ever had, her name was Pat. I sold her before I moved from up here in Kentucky about 3 years ago. Pat was a Persian. And I say she weighed about 1,600-1,700 pounds. And her feet, that big. When I went to put a bridle on her, if she held her head up, I couldn't put it on. I had to get something standing on and put a bridle on her horse. Pat and Meg, ever mate, she's big. She wasn't hardly as big as Pat. Pat was a strong horse. I could hitch her up single and put her on a sled and the whole family could get on her and we'd ride. Nothing to it. But Pat was gentle. My youngest son, Jed, he's about this big. He could go out there and Pat put her head down and he could grab her by the chin. No halter. We never put halters on them. We didn't horse not gentle if you've got to have it haltered out in the field. If you can't go out and catch your horse in the field without a bridle, you ain't got it broke. Well, he'd go out there and get Pat, just lead around with a chin. Now, if he wanted to, she wanted to, he could stomp me in, you know, to a mud hole if she wanted to. She's a powerful, strong animal. But her strength was under control. We say she was gentle. Gentle doesn't mean weak, people. Jesus was meek and lowly, humble in heart. But we're talking about the Son of God, who went in the garden and told Peter to put his sword back into its sheath. He says, do you not know I have at my disposal? I've called down 12 legions of angels. That doesn't sound weak to me, does it, Jesus? But I see meekness in that. I see strength under control. though he was the Son of God, had power at all things while he was here. He never used that power for his own. So he set the right example for me as a man. Gentleness. He said, you got to learn to me. You want freedom from heavy laden. He said, I can give it to you. I'm the Son of God. Come unto me, ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And he told us that in the Beatitudes, that we've got to have a heart that's humble, poor in spirit, realize that we're in spiritual poverty and in need of the Lord's salvation that only he can provide. I've got to have that attitude. Learn of him. He said, if you will, you shall find rest. He didn't say maybe, could. He said, you will. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Clean, relieved, refreshed spiritually. You shall find it. He promises to give us rest. But it's not physical rest like some of these preachers. That's all they preach, you know. It's just physical rest. Just because you come to Jesus doesn't mean that all the storms of life are going to go away. Doesn't mean it's health and wealth. You know, some of these preachers like Joel Osteen, butter won't melt in his mouth. With it. I mean, it just gushes. Health and wealth. No. Talk about living. Don't talk about changing your life. Don't talk about coming and taking a yoke. You know, a yoke suggests work. And they say, oh, you do any work, then that nullifies the grace of the Lord. There's nothing you can do. Just leave it all up to... That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, you come and take a yoke, my yoke, learn of me, change your life, be humble, be gentle, and you shall find rest. He doesn't promise it. You know, work's going to go away. In fact, Christianity in this world never offers an escape from work. It just allows you to be able to work harder. That's what it does. That's what a yoke does. You know, when my mules, or back when we had those little calves. Sad thing is, boys always name the calves after people in the church. It was Dan and Tom, you know. And then sometimes when we raise calves, not just to work them, we put them in the freezer. Then people come over and they say, hey, Daddy, who we? You know, and he said, well, it's a thing. those calves, when you work them, they have to give in to what you want to do. And there's work involved in it. Those little kids, when you first hook them up, it's hard on them. They don't know what to do. But they learn it. They're working that, and they start to pull. But it's a whole lot easier doing that with a yoke than it is if I just tied a rope around their neck and tied them to a stone boat. You imagine trying to pull something like that? When you don't have what you need to work with, it'll choke you down. You've tried to do a job without the right tools? Sometimes it's just impossible to do. But you give a person what he needs to work with, and even though the work's hard, he can do it. That's what a yoke enables you to do. It enables you to do what you need to do. And so Christianity never offers escape from trials and suffering, but it enables you to meet those situations in life with hope and contentment. And the yoke that Jesus asks us to take upon ourselves is much lighter and easier than the load that he's asked us to lay down. People try to go through life, and they're looking for happiness, they're looking for rest, they're looking for contentment, but they're looking for it in all the wrong places. And what they have is the world and sin that's weighing them down, and they're choked down, and they can't find any relief. They're miserable, and they can't do what they need to do. And when you become a Christian, all the problems and trials of life don't go away, but what you have in Jesus is the wherewithal to do what you need to do. He says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy. Now, here's one of those things. Where I was reading that passage, I thought I knew that I could quote, and I thought, no, what's he talking about? I know something about yokes. What's he talking about? My yoke is easy. Now, does that mean it's easy to be a Christian? It's not easy like easy as pie easy, is it? That's not what he's talking about. My yoke is easy. I was looking up this word. What does it mean? This could be translated well-fitting. Now, that made more sense. But we use it that way. You go to most people's house, and I'd say most of the men right here has got one. You got a place that you like to sit after supper, after you get in from work? Most of the time, it's that chair. You got one of them chairs? What do you call it? Easy chair. You ever heard of, call that? Some people call it lazy boy, but it's an easy chair. Easy chair. Why do you call it that? Because it fits good. In fact, you don't want anybody else sitting in that chair. My boys come on and say, that's my chair. You know, you sit over there. It's my easy chair. My mama, she used to like go to flea markets and stuff, and she'd say, when you're going, she said, better put on the easy shoes. What she mean by that? You get the ones that fit good. You don't get those new shoes that's going to rub blisters on you go to the flea market and you're going to walk all day. So you get your easy shoes. In fact, this word is translated here useful, comfortable, the opposite of harsh. Take my yoke. My yoke is easy. It fits you. It's comfortable. Comfortable. What? Comfort. What you think about the etymology of words? Com means with. Fort. Fort means strength. It's with strength. This enables you to have the strength to do what you need to do. It's easier on you than not having it and trying to do it. And you cannot have rest without the Lord and His yoke if you'll come to Him and learn of Him and take His yoke. And learn. He says, my yoke is easy. It fits you well. The Lord has made us, and He knows what's best for us. And therefore, anything that He tells us to do, any direction He tells us to go, every time He tells us to live, if we will do that and learn of Him, life is easier than those who don't. Now, I say he's talking about yokes, and people understood that. We don't understand it. I didn't understand it until I made a yoke. But you know, you don't just go and buy a yoke, get it off the shelf, and put it on your calves. In fact, you make several yokes from the time they get up to a four-year-old working steer. You have to make several yokes because they grow, right? That little yoke's not going to fit these big oxen later. And so what the person would do when they would have a pair of oxen that they wanted a yoke made for, they would go to the carpenter shop. Think Jesus knew anything about that? They would take them to the carpenter shop and they would take measurements of this team. Every team is different. Every animal is different. He's telling them he said, take my yoke upon you, right? They take measurements of these animals, and then he'd kind of rough this out, and then you take your oxen home, and he'd work on that, and then you bring them back, and then he would finish fitting that yoke for that team. So it wouldn't gall. So it would fit them and enable them to do the work that they needed to do. He says, you take my yoke upon you, and I suppose that Joseph and Jesus made the best fitting yokes in all Palestine. Take my yoke, for it fits you well. John come to learn this. 1 John 5 and verse 3, he said, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not what? Burdensome, grievous. When you hadn't got it, when you don't follow it, the world is not following the will of God. It might be that you're here and you're not following the will of God in your life, and what you have in your life is galling you. You cannot do what you need to do in life, and you may be weary and heavy laden. And Jesus says, you need to lay all that down and come take my yoke. For my yoke is light. And it's light in comparison to what I don't mean it's easy, it's pie easy, but you know, there's trials. Jesus says, in this world you're going to have tribulation. But He said, take courage, I've overcome the world. But I want you to notice one more thing. I got finished with that. I studied and I was looking at it and I thought, you know, there's one other thing that I... He said, my load is light by comparison. Then I got to looking at, he said, my yoke. Now this Jesus didn't say, come here, take your yoke. That's not what he said. He said, take my yoke. Now you can yoke an animal by itself and you can yoke it together. Like you can hitch a horse by itself and you can hitch them as a team. You have a... You have a single yoke. I don't think that's hard on animal pull, a big load by itself. That is not what he's talking about. He is talking about this kind of yoke, being yoked in a double yoke. He says, come take my yoke. But again, notice, he said, it's my yoke. It's not your yoke with him, and he's in the lead. Now, one thing, I don't know as much about oxen as I do about mules, but I know one thing. You got to lead mule and off mule. You hitch them up. We used to break mules with a guy down in Shady Grove, Tennessee. They'd bring them 4-year-olds in there, buddy. They were wild. Wow. We'd hitch them up. And they get all sore. First day or two, well, they're in the chains and they just get raw. They finally learn where to walk and how to get in the traces, you know. But one thing that's hard for them to learn is there's a lead mule and an off mule. And your lead mule is over here on the left. Same way with oxen. And a Dover, he'll, you know, he's always walking on this side. You got a stick, they can reach over the off mule, or the off ox. Same way with the off mule. The lead mule is in the lead. I had two mules, Ruth and Sue. Ruth, she was a lead mule. She was a little bit more broke. Sue, she thought she was the one. She woke up in a different world every morning. But she put her up there, and for the first week or two working, she was always lunging, and she always wanted to be in the lead, and she was put. Well, Ruth did let her pull. And but she'd be wore out. You know what she finally learned? Ruth is the lead mule, and I've got to pull with her after about a week of that. I tell you what a lot of people do. As we say, it's the same way with oxen. A lot of people want to be yoked with the Lord. They won't do the leading. They won't live their life on their terms. But Jesus says, you come take my yoke, you be yoke. He's talking about being a disciple. We said the first part of that was learn. Second part of being a disciple is follow. That's a disciple. A learner and a follower is a disciple. He said, you come and learn of me, and you be yoked up with me, and you follow me. I'm in the lead. I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. All things been handed to me. Come unto me, ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke. Take my yoke. And learn of me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. It fits you well. It's made for you. Enable you to do what you need to do and have what you want to have throughout all eternity. But you've got to come take my yoke and be yoked with me. It's his yoke and he is in the lead. Ask yourself this morning, are you yoked with the Lord? You know, we're going to sing this song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Only those who have come together in Christ can have this tie that we're going to sing about. Only those who have left sin, guilt behind, and come to have it removed by the Lord. It might be you're here this morning, you're not a part of that. You've never been yoked up with the Lord. Depending on being baptized, that's what you get started. And then you got to pull with him through your life every day.
If you're here this morning and you're weary with sin and your life, maybe it's late, put that aside. Jesus can get you ready. You can come this morning, dear Christian. Might be if you've done that in the past, but you've not been following the lead of the Lord. You've been living your life not like y'all. You need to repent of that, do it this morning. Let's all leave here this morning. Yoke with the Lord. And have rest here and eternal rest when this life's over. Right now. Thank you.